Good morning. It is a privilege to bring forth God's word today, and I want us to begin with a question. When you're getting to know one another, we usually ask about, what do you do for a living? And so I want us to ask a question, about job descriptions. So usually when people ask me what I do, I usually say, I'm a nurse, I'm a pastoral assistant, and most often they're going to ask me, so what's the job description? What do you do for your job? And in a similar way, our passage today, Jesus is going to answer that question. What's the job description for the church? What are we called to do? What are we signing up for? And so as we turn to, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Once again, it's Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16 to 20, we're going to see the answer that Jesus gives us. What is our job description? And so with that, follow along with me as I read God's word. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. The main point of this passage and the main point of this sermon is to, since Jesus is with you, make disciples of Jesus. Since Jesus is with you, make disciples of Jesus. And we're going to look at this main point in two parts. Since Jesus is with you, part one, and part two, make disciples of Jesus. So since Jesus is with you, look with me in verse 16. Here's some of the context here. And the 11 disciples, they traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus tells his disciples, his apostles, to meet him in Galilee. And so here they come. They show up. And in verse 17, we see that when the disciples saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And a critical biblical context here is that Jesus just died and 3 days later rose again. I mean, this is understandable for this kind of doubting. People don't just get up from the grave. They don't just come back to life, especially 3 days later. And so it is understandable for these apostles to doubt. And we could talk a little bit more about this offline, but Jesus reassures them. He is with them. Look with me in verse 18. Jesus came near. So in the midst of doubting, Jesus comforts his disciples. He draws near. He comes near, reassuring his disciples. And he reassures his disciples in two ways, his power and his presence. His power and his presence. So Jesus is with us in his power. First, look with me in verse 18. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Well, who has all power and authority? Only God, the creator, the sustainer of the universe. All authority that God has been given to Jesus. Thus, Jesus is God, truly God. But Jesus in his power, he's powerful over nature. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. His power is over the universe, the stars, the galaxies, upholding by his very word. Jesus has power over nature, controlling every breath in our lungs, every pump of blood in our hearts. And in the book of Matthew, if you want to take a read in the afternoon, you're going to just see that Jesus, he heals sickness, he stops storms, he walks on water, takes demons out of people. Jesus is powerful. All authority is given to him. And I just want us to pause because I think some of us, we recognize, yeah, but Jesus, he has all authority. But we have this allergic reaction to authority. Sometimes authority has a bad reputation, perhaps because we've seen it abused. Perhaps we've seen authority mishandled. And I just want to reassure you that authority is good according to God's word. And Jesus clearly has this authority. And where authority was set up, God created in Genesis this good authority that God is the creator and we are creation. And so I just want us to recognize that authority is good. But Jesus, he is not a tyrant. He is a good king, a good ruler. He is the one with all authority. But he is for us, and he's for our good. And we know this because he is present with us. Look with me at verse 20 here. Jesus is with us in his presence. In the latter half of verse 20, Jesus reminds his apostles, I am with you always. How long? Always. To when? To the end of the age. So you remember, Jesus comes in his first coming. In his coming in the flesh, but he also is with his disciples to the end of this age, meaning his second coming, when he comes back again to judge everything. And so Jesus reminds us that he is with us in his presence. And all that is to say is he is omnipresent. It's a fancy word to say that Jesus is always present. Once again, Jesus is divine. Only God can be everywhere at once. And so I hope this is a comfort for us to recognize that Jesus is with us. And he calls us to remember. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to remind you of this truth, that God is with you. And we know this in the gospel, that as God created everything under his good reign, we rebelled against the king. We rebelled against his good authority, sinning, disobeying God. And the consequences of that sin is separation from God, that we are far apart from God. And the consequences of that sin is eternal damnation in hell. But God, in his kindness and in his power, he sends his son Jesus, Emmanuel. And this is why we celebrate Christmas, God with us. And he sends Jesus to live the perfect life, to perfectly obey. And so as Jesus dies on the cross, we can be right with him. Not because of anything of our doing, but because of Christ's righteousness. That here in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we see kind of the top and tail, the beginning. It's the sending of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And here we are once again, that as Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later, he is still with us. That as Jesus, truly God and truly man, he restores right relationship between us and God for anybody who repents and believes. So if you know yourself not to follow Jesus, to not have trusted in Christ, you know, consider turning away from sin and turning to Jesus, that we can have right relationship with God, but also that Jesus is with us if we repent and believe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel is a reminder that Christ is with us. But we also have a call, a response, a mission in response to the gospel and following Christ. And that is to make disciples, to make disciples. And if you remember the main point here, since Jesus is with us, he's with you, make disciples of Jesus. And this is our second half here of our main point. We have two promises. Jesus is with us in his power and his presence. But now we turn to our second point, our response, our call, and it's to make disciples. If you look with me in verse 19, it says, therefore, go, therefore. we are to respond in making disciples of all nations. I just want us to pause here. So Jesus gives our job description here, our mission. So as Christ is our captain, we are called to go make disciples. And here, this is the one main verb that we have here. We have going, in our translation it says go. We also have baptizing and teaching, but it's just one verb here. It's to make disciples. And so what is this job description that we have? Well, what is a disciple? We have to ask that. What is a disciple here? And a disciple is just a follower. You know, it's kind of like an apprentice. A Jedi master has his Padawan. You know, for me, as working as a nurse, you have like a year of training that you learn from a nurse. You follow in their footsteps to figure out what does it look like to be a nurse. And so it is here to make disciples. All we're called to is to make followers of Jesus. And so one application point here is a call to evangelize. Well, how do we make disciples of all nations? Well, we have to preach the gospel that following Jesus, it's not for just smart people or people who have everything all right. This gospel is for all peoples, all tribes, all nations, anybody, whoever repents and believes. This is a call to anybody and everyone. And so Jesus calls his apostles to take this gospel to the nations. And I just want to recognize and affirm that this passage, commonly, if you've grown up in the church, this is probably a common call to missions. And I just want to say that is 100% true. But I think for us today here locally, I mean, this is a call for us to evangelize our neighbors, our coworkers. This is a call for us to take the gospel and bring it to whomever we see. In light of Jesus' presence, we need to take initiative and take risks to go. Our passage calls us to go make disciples. I just want to encourage you that, yes and amen, wisdom will call us to be wise about how we do this. Sometimes it is we wait for opportunities. But I think our passage calls us to actually create some of those opportunities. It's a call for us to not be passive and waiting, but to take risks, take initiative, go out to perhaps our friends, our family, our neighbors that don't know the Lord, and to be proactive in evangelizing, to preach the gospel, to herald this good news. So I just want to encourage, as Christ calls us to make disciples, one of the ways we do this is to evangelize, to take the gospel to the unbeliever world. And furthermore, Jesus clarifies and he gives us how we are to make disciples here. He calls us to baptize and to teach. And so as we look at making disciples of Jesus, I just submit to you that these two ways, it clarifies the context of how we are to make disciples. And I submit to you that it is in the context of the local church. It's in the context of the local church. So follow along with me again. In verse 19, Jesus calls us to make disciples. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to pause here to think through, well, why is it that making disciples is not just this individual act, but it's a corporate body, it's a corporate entity. We do this as a local church. Well, it's what does baptism symbolize and mean? What does baptism and symbolize and mean? And I just want to be clear, Jesus is not saying in order to be saved, you must be baptized by water. There's nothing special in the water. There's no juju in the water here. Clearly, the thief on the cross, Jesus tells him he'll see him in paradise. So there's nothing special in the water, but just because something is not required doesn't mean that it's not important. Just because something is not required doesn't mean it's not important. So what's the relationship with making disciples and baptizing? in baptism? Well, in baptism, there's this identification. Who are you allegiant to? And in baptism, it's this identification that we are baptizing in the name, singular name, that we identify with Jesus in his death and his resurrection as we go down in the waters and come up. We are saying in our baptism, we identify with Jesus. And notice here, we're identifying with the triune God in the singular name, but it's of the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So it's not three gods, but it's singular. One God, three persons. And so in baptism, we're identifying with our King. We're identifying with our God publicly. And so baptism is not this private act that we do with our friends, you know, in a backyard or in the river. But baptism finds its locale in the local church. It's the context of the local church. We see this in Acts 2. You know, Apostle Peter preaches the gospel. And how do the people respond? Well, they respond with, well, what must we do to be saved? And Peter replies, you repent and be baptized. Once again, it's not a baptism does not save, but it's a picture of, no, we are dying and being raised in Christ. We're identifying with Jesus. We are repenting, believing, trusting in Jesus. And baptism captures this. And we are added to the body. And so here in Matthew 28, this idea of baptizing, it just reminds us this making disciples, it's in the context of the local church. So I just want to pause here and consider, if you have not been baptized as a believer, you know, our passage calls us to obey Jesus by getting baptized. If you have not been baptized, yeah, I consider being baptized. And so Jesus' plan here to make disciples is fulfilled in local churches. This is how the gospel will go out to the nations. This is how the gospel will move forward. It's through local churches. It's through going and baptizing. And we also know this to be true in the book of Matthew, that in Matthew 18, this language of all authority, that's found in Matthew 18 as well, in the context of church discipline. And so this binding and loosening the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is saying here, all authority has been given to Christ. And here, Jesus is giving his authority to the disciples. And so it's in the context of the local church that the gospel will go out. Making disciples will happen in the church. Furthermore, we see this in our last phrase here. So follow along with me in verse 20. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And so we have our second part of making disciples here. We make disciples by teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded. And so here, as Jesus calls us to follow him, we make disciples by teaching every disciple to obey. And it's not this merely just this teaching. It's not this data transfer. We're not just downloading, you know, good theology or good information. Now, don't get me wrong. I love reading the theology books. I love understanding different things about God. But here in our passage, it's not merely just the teaching. There's a purpose. It's to observe everything I've commanded. And it's not observation like the scientific observation that we just notice this chair is red or this, you know, carpet is brown. But it's observing in the sense of obeying. There's an obedience factor. So Jesus here, he's concerned with not just right understanding, but also right living. He's concerned with our hearts understanding these truths and then being transformed so that we would treasure and obey Jesus. And so making disciples, it's teaching each other, one another, Christ's commands, namely God's words. So in other words, making disciples means that we help one another to understand God's word and to obey God's word. Notice, we have not arrived at our destination. The very fact that Jesus commands this means that we need help in doing this. And so what does this making disciples look like in terms of teaching one another to obey Christ's command? Well, in my own life, it looked like when I became a Christian when I was 17, and an older brother in Christ by the name of Jay, he was about 6 years older than me, took me under his wing. He would take me and a few other guys every Saturday. We'll go to IHOP, eat pancakes, study the book of Mark and the Gospel of Mark, and he would help us understand the text and then also apply it to our lives. And he's the one who taught me how to pray. So just as a new follower of Jesus, a new disciple of Christ, I was able to learn by this brother, Jay. He was pivotal in discipling me and helping me follow Jesus. It looked like at my previous church, at First Baptist Church of Hacienda Heights, where another church member, Vincent, who was in his 40s, he was married, one kid, and he was discipling me, a 23-year-old who just got a new job as a nurse, making some good money, but didn't know how to use it biblically and how to have wisdom with finances. And so he walked with me, just examining the scriptures to see, you know, what does it look like to follow Jesus with using our money? What does it look like to think through as a Christian to work to bring the gospel in the workplace? You know, what does it look like to follow Jesus as, you know, a new young adult? And so helping one another follow Jesus, it really requires getting God's word to shape how we then live. And once again, it's the very shape and context of making disciples is in the local church. So members of Cross Creek, I encourage you to consider, what does it look like to make disciples here in this local body? You know, what does it look like to mutually help one another to trust and obey Christ's commands? So I encourage you to do intentional spiritual good to one another and to be creative and think through, what does that look like to help one another follow Jesus, to better obey Jesus? This is what making disciples look like, to help one another. You know, our passage reminds us the scope of our obedience as well. You know, in our passage, Jesus says, all, you know, we're to obey all that I have commanded. It's all of God's word shapes all of our lives. It's not just kind of like, you know, Jesus has one compartment of my life, which is my devotional time. And, you know, for me, sometimes it's like 15 minutes a week. But no, Jesus, who raised up from the dead, he's Lord over all of our lives, all of our time, 24 hours of every day, of every week. So we have to be thinking about making disciples. It's this all of life. It's we have to take God's word and shape everything that we do. And God's word is sufficient to do this. And so as we think about, you know, what does it look like to make disciples corporately here? Well, it looks like what we do today. It looks like singing God's word. It looks like singing God's word to shape our hearts, to better understand who God is, to encourage one another in our singing. Well, it looks like in the preaching of God's word, as we are instructed by God's word, to hear what God has to say for us, to know then how do we then live. And it looks like, you know, in the ordinances, in baptizing, in the Lord's Supper, that we're reminded of the gospel together, corporately. We make disciples here in this gathering. And so as we move forward, I just want to encourage you to think through that making disciples, it's not just merely an individual act. Yes and amen, we have responsibility, but it's also a corporate act. We do this together as a church. And so as we think about, you know, what is our job description? As for any local church, for Hinson, the church that I'm a member of, for Cross Creek, for any other gospel-preaching church, what is our job description? Well, we're reminded in our passage that since Jesus is with you, make disciples of Jesus. And so the main important thing in our call and action is to be faithful in making disciples. And remember, making disciples, it's not fueled by our own strength. No, Jesus is with us. And he's with us in his power. He's with us in his presence. And we go take this gospel, making disciples of all nations through local churches. And so as we move forward from this day, I hope we're reminded that Jesus is with us to make disciples. And so with that, would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we praise you as you are God who is all powerful. God, we confess the ways that we trust ourselves rather than you. And so, God, we pray that you would help us, remind us that you are with us. Remind us that, God, you sustain us by your power. But we also pray that you would strengthen us to trust you, strengthen us to make disciples, to help us to follow you, but also to help one another follow you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.